Preparing for Baptism, Essential Teachings of the Christian Faith and Ethics. Compiler and Editor, Vitaly Boyka. Reading to you today, David Moroshin. Doctrine about Salvation. Statement of Faith. We believe that God, in love, offers mankind salvation through repentance and faith in the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This salvation frees man from the bondage of sin and death. It restores the relationship between God and man and results in eternal life for all who believe. God desires the salvation of all people, but each person is responsible either to accept or reject God's grace. God foreknew those who would respond to his call to salvation. He chose those individuals in Christ Jesus and predestined them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Redemption, or liberation from the bondage and penalty of sin, is offered through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed on the cross to satisfy the demands of God's justice. Jesus Christ died for all, and now salvation by grace is available to all people through faith in Jesus Christ. Justification is the act of God by which the righteousness of Christ is imputed to the believer. Man is freed from the punishment of sin and its guilt and is reconciled to God. Justification is a gift given by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ and is not dependent on human works and merits. Faith, which is necessary for salvation, comes from the hearing of the Word of God. The faith which saves a man is a faith which responds to God's offer of salvation by unconditionally accepting the message of the gospel and trusting Christ as the only Savior and Lord. The confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is a confirmation of true faith. Works of faith also bear testimony to true faith. Believers are called to grow in faith and the knowledge of the Lord through listening to and studying the Word of God, praying, and living godly lives. Repentance occurs when people realize their fallen condition. They experience sorrow over their sin and agree with God through confession. Repentance is the result of God's grace acting within the individual by means of God's Word, which leads him or her to conversion. Conversion is evidenced when one turns away from a sinful way of life and turns towards a life of obedience to God. The result of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the subsequent conversion is forgiveness of sins and a new birth from God's Word and Holy Spirit. Sanctification. It occurs as God acts and man responds. During the process of sanctification, one becomes more like Jesus Christ, separates increasingly from sin, and concentrates more on the new and holy life and service to God. Imputed, or initial sanctification, separates the believer from the sinful world and changes his position before God. Accomplished by God at the moment of conversion, initial sanctification liberates the believer from the bondage of sin and identifies him with Christ and the saints. Progressive sanctification liberates a born-again individual from the power of sin and transforms him into the image of Christ. This transformation, leading to spiritual growth, is done by God the Father with the help of the Holy Spirit, God's Word, and the individual's participation throughout his entire earthly life. Final sanctification fully liberates the regenerated individual from the presence of sin and results in Christ-likeness in eternity. Final sanctification occurs at the rapture of the church and our meeting with the Lord. Assurance of salvation. We believe that the believer, kept by God, has the assurance of salvation and God's election on the basis of continuation in the faith. Assurance of salvation is based on God's promises and the testimony of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. We believe that a born-again individual exercising his free will can fall away from salvation by abiding in willful sin, by denying Christ, or falling into heresy. In this case, a believer can be deprived of God's grace and will perish. Repentance and conversion. Repentance occurs when a person realizes his fallen condition, experiences sorrow over his sin, and agrees with God through confession. Conversion is an internal decision to turn away from sin and is expressed in a change in direction, away from the sinful way of life and towards obedience to God. As a result of repentance and conversion, a person experiences a change in his views on sin, a change in feelings, and a change in will. Number one, change of views in relation to sin, God, and self. Sin is perceived as personal guilt. God is correctly perceived as the one who rightly demands righteousness. Self is perceived as defiled and helpless. Number two, a change of feelings. We sincerely regret being sinners and truly crave forgiveness. David's prayer reveals strong feelings of remorse. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Written in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 2. Number three, change of will and purpose of life. A person willfully makes the decision that henceforth his life belongs only to Christ. Fruits of repentance: confession of sin, compensation for harm caused to other people, faith. True repentance never happens apart from true faith. This means that we are not capable of turning away from sin without turning to God at the same time. In addition, we can say with certainty that true faith does not exist without repentance. Repentance and faith are inseparably tied together. What is faith? The word faith has two meanings: to trust or believe someone, and to consider something true. Saving faith means trusting Christ as Savior and embracing the certainty that He can remove the guilt of sin and grant eternal life. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Sources of faith. Number 1. God's part. Clearly, faith is a gift of God, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Paul says that salvation and faith are God's gifts. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Number 2. Man's part. To constantly partake from the sources of faith. Faith is a matter of man's will. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, written in Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. The word of God is a source of faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Prayer increases our faith also. The disciples once addressed the Lord, "Increase our faith." Results of faith. Number one, salvation. Our salvation depends on faith. From the beginning and to the end, we are saved through faith, which will turn out to be our justification, our adoption, and sanctification. Peter tells us that we are saved by the power of God through faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Number two, confidence. We grow in our confidence in Christ through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. God directs our soul to the promises in Scripture. We become more certain of our salvation as we appropriate the promises of the Word by faith. Faith and peace are tightly woven together with joy. Number 3, good works. Faith results in good works. We are not saved by our works, but for good works. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Sanctification, or holiness. Bible verses about sanctification. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. We are sanctified as we dedicate ourselves to God and separate ourselves from the world. Sanctification includes purification and rejecting everything sinful and defiling. We cannot truly separate ourselves from the world and dedicate ourselves fully to God without a complete, decisive, and definitive rejection of sin. The believer needs to separate himself from all wickedness, from false teachings, from works of the flesh. There are three phases of sanctification in the life of a believer. The first is the imputed or initial sanctification. The moment a person accepts Jesus Christ, he is sanctified in the sense that he separates and disassociates himself from sin and is consecrated to God. Therefore, in the New Testament, believers are often called saints. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Number 2, progressive sanctification. It liberates a born-again individual from the power of sin and transforms him into the image of Christ. This transformation leading to spiritual growth is a lifelong process. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Psalm 119, verse 9. Number 3, final sanctification. It liberates the regenerated individual from the presence of sin and results in Christ-likeness in eternity. Final sanctification occurs at the rapture of the church and our meeting with the Lord. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Key verses. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1.